all profit is value extraction. And that means that all profit is theft from you.
Corporate America is on welfare, and we've got to get them off welfare.
Last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary, and you're going to have to keep on saying that.
Hey, everyone. We're recording this the week after the election. We just wanted to add this in, you know, get our thoughts while they're a little bit fresh. I know that other people have had, you know, deeper and better analysis of what happened with the election, but we just thought we'd offer our own two cents here. And yeah, I don't know. I know a lot of people are kind of searching for answers right now, and I don't know if we have all the answers, but we got our own kind of view on things, at least. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, yeah. this was a win-win for me because I just went ahead and had a bunch of we voted a fascist into office, and all I got was this lousy t-shirts, and so I knew I'd be able to sell them either way.
Yeah, not wrong.
I mean, it was bad. It was going to be bad no matter what. And I personally have mixed feelings, right? Like, on one hand, it's like, yeah, maybe Donald Trump is worse in some senses. But, like, is it much better if we reward a fucking genocider who, like, did the fucking genocide and then told us she was better and then voted for her? I don't know. I don't know that that's better. I also personally vote, don't vote. I don't really care. I don't think a single vote here or there really makes a difference. I really don't. So I feel sometimes it's a little hypocritical to vote shame in either direction when people are like, oh, I'm going to vote shame people who voted for Kamala. I'm like, yeah, I think it's shitty to vote for Kamala, but at the same time, I don't think their vote mattered anyway. So
I also see where they're coming from.
I do.
Frankly.
I do get it.
Like,
yeah. It sucks, but I do get it. I try not to be, I use it as a teachable moment, right? When someone says, oh, I voted for, I'm like, look, I don't agree with it. I could have a much longer conversation about it, but you do you. But whatever happens, you have to do more. You can't just vote again in 4 years. You can't just sit there and cry. Join an organization, show up to the protests, start giving a shit, and then don't go back to sleep the next time a Democrat wins.
I don't know who said it, and I'm not going to quote it perfectly, but I read not that long ago something that I think sums it up very succinctly, but it was essentially that the work that needs to be done is still the work that needs to be done. Nothing has really changed. We still need to organize, we still need to agitate, we still need to protest, we still need to do all the same things, no matter who got elected.
Yeah.
The work that needs to be done is still the same exact work that needs to be done.
Yeah. And, like, that was kind of my takeaway, too. Like, I know that not all of our listeners agree with us politically. You know, maybe they're a little bit on one side or the other of certain things, but like I would say, like, if you're listening to this and you're not part of some local political organization, go out and find one and join it, or at least get involved. Like, you know, shop around and find one that represents your views and is actually doing good work. Like, it doesn't have to be necessarily a revolutionary Marxist-Leninist organization.
Yes,
but like, it would be a lot cooler if it was.
Be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. If you just want to, like, go and feed homeless people, or, like, go protest for reproductive rights, or, like, I don't know, you know, volunteer doing whatever. Like, you're doing something good. You're doing a revolutionary act just by that little bit of resistance, I would say. I mean, that said, I'll put some links in the show notes of, like, I'll suggest, you know, DSA, it has its faults, of course, and it depends on which chapter
they
you're
all
part
do.
Of.
Yeah. Every one of these orgs, there's not one that is great, unfortunately. Yeah.
Same is true of PSL, FRSO.
SRA.
Yeah.
If you're into that kind of vibe, SDS. It's got its faults.
Some branches of CPUSA are good.
Yeah.
Certain ones.
So
like it takes a little legwork because different cities have different effective orgs. There's pretty much one good option in town for me. You know, that same option's less good in other places. Our friends over at Revolutionary Rhetoric, they are CPUSA. And in Seattle, apparently, that is a pretty strong org that does good stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, go start just checking them out. That's my best suggestion to you. Go to a meeting, go to whatever you can, and just see what they're about. See what they, you know, how they organize, see what they're actually doing on the ground. I know PSL is who organized most of the pro-Palestine marches here in Denver. So, I mean, if you're in Denver, check out PSL. I mean, they can't be too bad. They're organizing all the pro-Palestine marches, so I would definitely suggest them.
Yeah. And, like, they're part of a larger coalition called the Colorado-Palestine Coalition that does a lot of good work with that.
Similar structure here in Pittsburgh. PSL works with a lot of other orgs for Palestine.
Yeah, same in Chicago. So, at the very least, PSL seems to integrate itself into the communities where it's active in a way that some other orgs do not.
Yeah, and I've actually heard that levied as a criticism of PSL.
I mean, no, I'm not going to comment on that. That seems good.
That's up for you to decide. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was very stupid criticism, so I won't even attack certain groups here in Pittsburgh, but there are people here who are stupid.
As with all places, there are people who are stupid.
And, yeah, I mean, there's, like I was just on a DSA meeting yesterday, and, like, there's people I disagree with in that organization, and, you know, like, to myself or to people that I know, I'll be like, can you believe what so-and-so said? But I'm not going to call them out in public or anything like that.
Oh, I will. Don't join Socialist Alternative.
Yeah. But yeah, and I guess, you know, I also kind of wanted to dispel some of the, I don't know what you would call it, false consciousness around, like, who to blame in this election that I've seen a lot of liberals lashing out, you know, in their frustration. So, like, a lot of you know, dyed-in-the-wool Democrats are, you know, blaming the left, blaming minorities.
Liberals are doing the meme with the guy in the hot dog costume. We're all trying to find who did this.
Yeah. And to be clear, I put 100% of the blame on the DNC and Harris and Biden and their shitty campaign that... what was it, Brandon? You posted some meme that's like Dale Earnhardt because they died because they couldn't turn left or something like that.
Yes. Yeah,
you better send me that.
Yeah,
let's see what I can do.
But
I think they're doing all this shit, which I think this is one of the unfortunate things is if we add up all those third party votes, granted. They were kicked off the ballot in most states by the Democrats, but, you know, the left didn't garner enough votes to be a real threat to them. Yeah, and it's cool that we can argue that it wasn't the left's fault, but that is, I'm a little disappointed that, like, Jill Stein...
I wish it was the left's fault.
Yeah.
I wish we had an actual movement with enough sway... Where we legitimately could be blamed for
I agree,
Kamala
but
losing,
at the same time, a lot of the arguing it's not the left's fault isn't like it's coming from a defensive position because people are like, "Hey, left, this is your fault," and we're having to be like, "Dude, we don't even have the numbers."
Yeah,
for real.
It was what like 0.04% of the vote went to third parties. It was like a few hundred thousand people, but. Harris lost by over 10 million votes, I think. So
I think it was less than that. I think it was like 5 million in the popular vote, but probably it could be more in the Electoral College. I'm not sure of the numbers, but she got her ass kicked. I mean, it was a fucking blowout. And of course, the Democrats have no one to blame but themselves. And I think a lot of people will listen to their bullshit and, you know, oh, they're blaming this and this. And I think one of the things that we have to be careful of is don't individualize this election, right? Don't be like, oh, it was these individuals, it was this minority group. We have to look pretty holistically and understand that the Democrats lost because they ran a shit campaign. Campaigns are not won by convincing people who are very, very well informed on the issues. It's actually a lot of people who are very ill-informed, right? I mean, probably that's at least, I would say, 100 million voters per election are extraordinarily low information voters. So what they do is, think is about not impacted what the, by us.
Think about what the average person knows about politics and understand that half the people know less than
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
So, like, I think it's more, I think it's worth thinking about these elections not in terms of, like, don't do a play-by-play. You're not the quarterback. You're not the coach. These are historical events playing out. The Democrats made their choices because they're a bourgeois party. They have to serve their fucking donors, and they have an interest to continue moving right regardless of the result. They're going to move right here, whether the left stopped them from winning or not. They're going to... These things are a historical process. The rise of fascism in this country, or fascism becoming a more overt form of fascism, was always going to happen. No matter what, there was no other option. It happened because it had to happen.
Yeah, I think it was the Trillbillies. I think it was the Trillbillies who, before this election, described it as this election was going to determine the future of American conservatism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, it was. It is the same outcome either way. I do genuinely feel like 90% of the things that are going to happen now were going to happen regardless. So there's a weird, like, I'm not happy that fucking Donald Trump is president, but I think for the minimal amount of additional harm that's going to be done, it's going to motivate a lot of people.
That's exactly one of the things I was going to say. Now is a good time to have those conversations with your family, especially younger family. If you have younger cousins, nieces, nephews, whatever the case may be, young coworkers, people who you can see are visibly upset, now is a really good time to at least start planting the seeds that, hey, we can't do this again. Even if you don't believe that, like, this shifted everything, say, this shifted everything. The Democrats are done. They fucked up. They dropped the ball. What are you going to do differently? And, you know, I mean, like, and say, there are other things to do. You know?
The Democrats have failed you once again. Like, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to put your faith in them once more and let them fail you once again? Or are you going to, you know, become an active member of, you know, your community and do something that actually has tangible results? You know, this is a great opportunity for liberals to actually become engaged in real politics, not just voting every 4 years. Yeah. So, sorry if you're a liberal listening to this, but
get engaged. For a second, I heard this is a chance for liberals to become gay, and I was like, hell yeah.
It's also that.
Weird takeaway, but I'm into it.
It is all... There is never not a chance for everyone to become a little gay. So, you know, just keep that in mind.
Well, I just had a couple more takeaways and then I'm done. But, like, one thing is Trump got almost exactly the same number of votes he got last time. I think maybe a little bit less.
A little bit less.
And the real story is just people did not show up to vote for Harris, whether that was, you know, the genocide thing, or maybe it was just because she wasn't offering anything tangibly different or positive, had no real policies, no vision of change. I'm sure someone will tell me otherwise. You know, feel free to, like...
Oh, I actually have a lot to say about this. Like, I'm not going to get deep in the weeds. No, like, I have just been cleaning out my camera roll from the last, like, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to about 4 to 5 years ago, I found so much stuff that I had saved, like memes and infographics and stuff like that, about how much I fucking hate Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Because during her, like, the runoff for the last election, everyone fucking hated her. Like, she's conservative. She's Like, honestly, she was kind of on point there for a little bit, but generally she's like doesn't have a very personable or well-spoken way about her. Like, she fumbles through things. And then there's also the fact that, like, she's endorsed slavery in California, like, loves to lock people up and put them in prison, and just generally sucks at every angle somebody can suck from. And we all recognized that a really fucking long time ago. And, like, to try to gloss over that, like, it made me realize the extent to which the U.S. has no political memory.
None.
How did she do in the primaries?
Bad.
Not
good.
No one fucking liked her. No one has ever liked her. And they just slotted her in as the candidate just because, I don't know what machinations the DNC has, but they just slotted her in just to, I don't know.
Because she wasn't going to challenge Biden, and she didn't. You know, she didn't go
against
him.
She also didn't
challenge
Trump.
Facts.
The other thing, I mean, speaking of, short-term memory, like, so last night it got postponed because of weather, but we were going to have, the DSA was going to host a screening of the movie Reds, the Warren Beatty movie about John Reed. And so, if you don't know, he was a American journalist who, about halfway through the movie, he goes to Russia during the 1917 revolution to cover it for a newspaper, and ends up getting, like, involved with the revolution and, like, making propaganda for the Bolsheviks and stuff.
I love that for him.
Yeah. He wrote, it's based off of a book he wrote called, I think, 10 Days That Shook the World.
Okay.
But, like, early on in the movie, he's getting involved with, I believe it was the, I forget if it was like a socialist party of the USA or communist party of the USA or something like that. And it was around the 1912 election that Woodrow Wilson ended up winning. And a bunch of people, I think him included, in that party were like, you know, let's support Wilson because he's the lesser of two evils. He's going to keep us out of World War One. You know, and then he ended up not doing that. So, like, you can see in this movie, this guy's like, you know, okay, we can work within the system. This is the, you know, lesser two evils. He's like trying to help unionize workers in like factories and stuff, and getting beat up for it.
You can't make movies about leftist journalists anymore because of woke.
Because of woke.
Well, like, he had a huge, like, Warren Beatty had a huge problem making this movie. Like, he basically had to bankroll it himself.
Oh, wow.
It's an interesting
story. Is Warren
Beatty
based and I don't know it?
Kinda, yeah.
Huh.
I mean, he also, he's a bit of a wacky guy. Like, he also, did the, Dick Tracy movie that everyone was telling him was a bad idea. And he's like, no, I really love Dick Tracy. I'm going to make this movie. And maybe that was whatever.
It's the only movie I remember him for. It was not good.
Yeah. Anyways, that's kind of a side tangent, but it's a really interesting movie. And I don't know if this will go out in time for people to go to the rescheduled screening of the movie, but you know, it's worth sitting down and watching. It's a long ass movie, but it's an interesting, you know, glimpse into that time period. And like a lot of the same forces were happening in America as they are today. So yeah, fun stuff.
We just need another revolution to be going on that we can go get involved with, like,
yep,
the one in 1917.
There's a book on my nightstand that I've been meaning to read for like 2 years now, Red Star Over China, which is about a journalist going and getting enmeshed with the Chinese communists during their revolution. So,
oh yeah, what's the guy's name? I think I've heard of that.
I do not remember.
It doesn't matter. I don't know.
Okay. Or also, Google exists.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, I guess if for anyone who is wondering what Cars and Comrades thinks about the election, I think that's pretty much it.
Well, I mean, I think to tie it back, since we're a car podcast, relating that to modern politics, our next episode is going to be on how to build a car.
No, no.
For strictly educational purposes.
Yeah, so you get Bailey's, Jameson, and Guinness, right? That's for the ingredients.
And a lot of
But seriously, like, if you have
yes, an opinion, but seriously,
if you have an opinion that you want to share, if you want to tell us you're wrong, that we're wrong, or if you're curious about any of these organizations that we mentioned, feel free to email us, carsandcomrades@gmail.com. Hit us up on social media. Maybe don't be too mean to Connor because he runs most of that. But
or be mean. I can be mean back.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first time.
I will say I slightly disagree with you guys' position on shaming voters.
Yeah, come at us.
Anytime I see liberals who are like really, really upset and getting mad at Trump voters, I will absolutely shame them.
Yeah, I think the time and place matters, right? Who are you dealing with? Like, if
I'm
it's
not
going
to initiate
could,
it, but
if you could bring them in on our side, that's, you know, by being cool, do it. But if they're unrepentant, like Neera Tanden types, fuck them. They deserve it.
It was just a tweet, but it was very on the nose. I wish I could remember it verbatim, but it was all of the you liberals who are currently feeling this upset by Trump, please remember that all Palestinians are also this upset by Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely. One other thing I'll say that's not really related, but like sometimes it feels like we're kind of running out of ideas for this podcast. So if you have an idea of something that you want us to talk about, email us too, whether that's about cars or politics or anything else. Or if you if you want to be on the show, if you know a little bit about, I don't know, K cars or whatever, just email us and you can be on the show.
Become part of the Cars and Comrades Collective.
Yeah, exactly.
I've
Cars
never...
and Comrades Collective Podcast, CCCP!
Yes, let's go!
Got to rebrand. Kind of redo all the social media now. Starting over. All right. Anything else, or should we stop it there?
That's all okay, I got.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably a good place.
That's
to
more
end.
Than enough.
We gonna make the fight fire with fire fist. We make you fight fire with water fist. We gonna fight racism, not racism, but we gonna fight the solidarity. We said we're not gonna fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we going to fight the socialism.
Amazingly, or not so amazingly, Cuba's crime rate is one of the lowest in the entire hemispheres. Oddly enough, it seems that when people have their basic human needs met, they're less likely to commit crimes.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
The free market mythology, it argues that the most ruthless, selfish, opportunistic, greedy, calculating plunderers, applying the most heartless measures in cold-blooded pursuit of corporate interest and wealth accumulation, will produce the best results for all of us. Through something called the invisible hand.
What are you smiling about?
Dude, I almost had you.